following message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
So this morning, I do have a message for you, but I was thinking with the kiddos in mind, at the same time wanting to include you, so hopefully this is for everybody. All right. So how many know what that is up there on the screen? Yeah, a life preserver or a lifesaver. It's used to save lives. You'll find them on ships, and if somebody is drowning, it's a good thing to have one of those. Has anybody had to have a lifesaver thrown your way? No? Maybe don't want to admit it? Oh, somebody? Okay. The Navy guy. Yes, that's right. So that's a life preserver, a lifesaver, saves lives for drowning. Question. We'll let the kiddos answer this one. Does anybody know of a candy that is named after the lifesaver? Yes. Go ahead. Hands are up, but nobody's saying nothing. The lifesaver, yes. There is a candy called the lifesaver, named after the lifesaver. And we're going to talk about that. The lifesaver candy was created in 1912. So about 110 years coming on that. And the first flavor ever made was the peppermint. Anybody like the peppermint? That was the first flavor. But by 1919, they had added six other flavors. Most of those are now gone. It wasn't until 1935 that the most popular, the five-flavor roll, came about. And this is a roll of lifesavers. And all of our kiddos are going to get a roll with something else at the end of this service, if they're good. And so this five flavor, the five original flavors, they've changed, but the five original flavors were pineapple, lime, orange, cherry, and lemon. And then in 1992, the gummy lifesavers came about. And then I don't know about some of, maybe not you kiddos, I don't know. In fact, let me go back here. How many of y'all remember this? Yeah, no. How many of y'all remember this up on the screen? This is the original lifesaver book right here. Had six rolls on each side. It was a double-sided book. They done got cheap now and just put a little flap for one side. And then they've got some rolls on the other side. But every Christmas, for a number of years, my brother, my sister, and myself, along with other things, we would get one of these lifesaver books. I have tried to find one of these original lifesaver books and cannot find them. Did anybody else in my generation get the lifesaver candy book for Christmas? Yeah. And then we would always throw away the butter rum. I know there's some butter rum lovers. That's fine. Everybody's got their flavor. That's good. So I want to talk about Jesus and the lifesaver candy and the comparison of the two. Let's take a moment. Let's bow. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, well, just for the day and for the season. And Father, for this time that we spend in your word, this little bit of time right here, would you, by your spirit, just stir in our hearts? It's a fun thing. It's a cute thing. But at the same time, it's a real thing. It's a meaningful thing. And God, I just pray that the truth of your word would land deep in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk about Jesus and the lifesaver candy, and I'm going to give you five comparisons of the two. Number one is simply this, the name. There is the lifesaver candy, but then there is Jesus, the lifesaver. Jesus is the lifesaver. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says this, "You shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And whenever it said he shall save his people from their sins, there was already a foreshadowing of his death, because sins can't be forgiven. You can't be saved from sin without the shedding of blood. The Bible says there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. So Jesus was born to die. You shall call his name Jesus. Names matter, don't they? Names matter. I know that Teresa and I struggled with some of the names of our children, mainly our firstborn. We had a boy name all picked out, and I just knew, that's fine, we're having a boy. Well, we had a girl. And the girl has been born, and we still don't have a name quite settled. You got to be careful with the names because you don't want to get a name that's going to invite bullying later on, right? And then you got to stay away from the names that remind you of your crazy aunt or some kid in junior high that picked on you. You don't want a name that's going to trigger some emotion in you. And so you finally land on this name, and we finally landed on Michaela after she was born. But then we had the whole thing about the spelling. How are we going to spell Michaela? We want to spell it in such a way that they don't have to ask how to pronounce it, and they would pronounce it correctly. We failed. She is still asked, how do you say this? And so the names, Mary and Joseph did not have to deal with any of that. The angel drug out her chair, stood on it, and said, "You shall call his name Jesus." The Bible tells us that Jesus is the name above all names, and it is his name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only option when it comes to salvation. He's not the best of many options. He's the only option for salvation. Jesus is the one who shed his blood and died for us. Jesus is the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. Jesus is the one who sits at the right hand of the Father right now, and Jesus is the one who will return to take us back. Jesus is the only avenue to the Father, the only avenue for salvation. Jesus said, "I am the way, the life, and the truth, and no man comes to the Father except through me." Now, there may be a number of roads to get you to Jesus, but you got to get to Jesus to get to heaven, to get to the Father. There is no other name. So the name, the lifesaver name, and the Jesus name, that's the first thing that they have in common. The second thing in common between the candy and Jesus is the shape. The shape of the lifesaver is round. And round, like a ring, has no beginning, has no end. Jesus, no beginning, no end. God is eternal forward and eternal backward. How many of you struggle with the eternal backward thing? I mean, eternal forward, to think that, you know what, we're never going to die. We're going to live forever. My mind can get around that because God is all powerful. But to go the other way and to say that God has always been here, that just kind of fries my brain just a little bit. And let's just talk about that just for a moment. Because even people who don't believe in God, even people who say God is a hoax, even people who claim to be atheists, I'm going to tell you, they also believe in something supernatural. Because either A, there was a beginning, or B, something's always been here. If it's not God, then something's been here. Well, you say, yeah, but that no, there's a beginning. Okay, if there's a beginning, explain that. How did it begin? What was the first thing? Who was the first person? Well, you know, them things were flying around in the air like they taught us in biology and science class. And they were flying around for billions and trillions of years, and one day they collided. Kaboom, big bang, here we are. Where did them things flying around in the air come from? Well, it washed up on the shore. Where did the shore come from? Well, the shore was created as something fell out the tree. Where did the tree, where did the first thing come from? There has to be either a first thing, or something's always been here forever. There is no third option. So you got to have faith. You can put your faith in God, or you can put your faith in them things that were flying around and collided and started life. Eternal forward, eternal backward. See, the stable wasn't the beginning for Jesus. Jesus was already here before he was born. Did you get that? See, before Adam was, Jesus is. He created everything. He's God in the flesh, but he was already here. One Christmas, many, many years ago, and the way we did it, we didn't have tons of gifts under the tree. Santa Claus brought most of them on Christmas Day. And he didn't wrap them. He just set them up in the living room. And we would wake up and find them there. And like most young children, we had trouble going to sleep, and we had no trouble waking up. And like most parents, they wanted to sleep in. And on this year, I've been on both sides of that now, and I totally understand the needing to sleep in. I've had to put bicycles together at night. Yes, I get it. And I don't know what all took place that night, but I got up early. I'm first one up. And I leave my bedroom, and I'm going down the hall, and I go to the living room door. And this door, our living room had two doors, but this door has never closed. It was closed. And I went to turn it and open it, and I could not pull it open. It would not open. And I don't remember a lock being on that door. I don't remember the door ever being closed. And so I was stuck. I could not get in there, and I'm ready to get in there. There was another route. But to get there, I had to go around. Our house was just kind of laid out in a circle. But to get there, I had to go through Mom and Dad's bedroom. They're asleep. And here's the thing. Back then, we just didn't go in there. Me, my brother, we just didn't go in Mom and Dad's bedroom. That's off limits. And now here it is, Christmas morning. Everything's in behind that locked door. And there's only one other route. Got to weigh it out. Well, the excitement of getting there and seeing everything won out. And so I opened the door to Mom and Dad's bedroom. If I'd have known that they're probably exhausted, I could have just stomped through there. But I was quiet as a mouse and went right through there, went around, came through the kitchen, the dining area, and came through the other door, and there it was. Three stacks of things, my brother, my sister, myself, all set up on display. Here's the thing, though. I thought I was the first one there. But see, Mom and Dad had already been there. In fact, they set the whole thing up. And I'm telling you, Jesus set this whole thing up. Jesus created everything. When Adam and Eve got here and they saw it, they weren't the first ones here. Jesus had already been there in advance. So I'm telling you that Jesus is eternal forward and backwards. So that's the shape. The third thing in common between the Lifesaver candy and Jesus the Lifesaver is, do you know the motto for the Lifesaver candy? They have a motto. Y'all don't remember? It goes way back. It used to be on TV. It's the candy with a hole. It's the candy with a hole. The Lifesaver, the candy with a hole. Well, Jesus is the God with a hole. He's the God with holes in his hands, with holes in his feet. See, he's not just any other God, little G-O-D. Jesus is the God who died for our sins. See, he wasn't just born in a manger. He grew up to die on a cross. And aren't you glad? So we celebrate the babe in a manger, but also the man Jesus, the God who came and laid down his life for us that we might have redemption. It was after his resurrection and after his glorified body that he appeared to the disciples. If you know the story, they're in the room. Jesus comes in with the locked door. See, I couldn't do that. I had to go around the house and go through Mom and Dad's room to do that, but Jesus just came to the wall. And he appeared to the disciples. But Thomas wasn't there. The Bible doesn't tell us where he was. But later, Thomas said, I don't believe y'all. I'm not going to believe that Jesus is back from the dead. I don't believe that. I'm not going to believe it unless he shows up and shows me the holes in his hand. Jesus does it again just for Thomas. Shows up, and he tells Thomas, look, in fact, go ahead and touch the holes in my hand. Jesus is the God with the holes. And here's the thing. We've heard it from Don Piper. I've read it from many others who have testified to this, those who have visited the third heaven. Those holes are still there. It was after the resurrection. It was after his glorified body, and he still had the holes in his hands. And we know also that there is no imperfection in heaven, but aren't scars a sign of an imperfection? I mean, if you have a scar, how many have a scar somewhere? Yeah, we all have, most of us have scars. I will tell you, those scars will not be in heaven. There will be no sickness. There will be no disease. Extremities will be healed. Everything will be whole. The only thing that will be there that will be a reminder of what took place on earth is the scars on Jesus' hands. And that will be the constant reminder that we are there because of what he did. Jesus is the lifesaver. He's eternal forward, eternal backwards, and he is the God with the holes. The fourth thing I want to bring up between Jesus and the lifesavers is the colors. The bright colors, not the peppermint, the five flavors. I'm going to use this to represent excitement. I really think there ought to be a little excitement in our journey with Jesus. There ought to be a little color. You remember the old movie, The Wizard of Oz, and Dorothy, and in the beginning of the movie, it was all black and white, but then Dorothy has, you know, all that stuff goes on, and all of a sudden, the movie just goes from black and white to color. Y'all remember that moment? It was like an incredible moment. It was like in TV land, one of the first things, you know, to do something like that. It was like, wow, did you see that? It just went from black and white to color. And I'm telling you, when you go from lost in your sin to saved and you know Jesus, it ought to be that way. You ought to go from black and white to color. See, I don't think Christianity was meant to be dull or boring. Jesus healed people and raised them from the dead. That doesn't sound boring. I think happy and holy can coexist. But some people are so holy, they ain't happy. For some, Christianity is all about the rule following. When you come to know Jesus, you embark upon a new journey. You're in a new car on a new road. And you're in the middle of a new journey. Everything is new. And some don't journey well in the new car on the new road because they're all focused on staying in between the lines. Y'all remember when you first learned how to drive? I remember my dad took me to a place here in Angleton to learn how to drive. And man, got the hands on the wheel, they're tight. And I'm up there and I am looking right there on the road. And dad said, you need to lay back, you need to see the full picture. But I was just so intense and so focused on not going over the lines. And the more I tried to stay in the lines, the more I focused on the lines, the more I crossed the lines. What you focus on gets bigger. Maybe instead of focusing on what I don't need to do, start focusing on what you ought to do. Let that get bigger. But eventually you learn to drive and you get out of that 10 and 2 thing and you go to the 12. And you're driving, and you're seeing everything at once. You see the big picture, and you're not so focused on getting outside of the lines. And amazingly, you stay within the lines better than when you were first learning to drive and focusing on staying in the lines. Well, Pastor, I think we ought to stay in between the lines. I get it. I understand the rules. But let's focus more on the relationship, and I think the rules will fall in place more than if we just focus on the rules. And here's the thing. Nowadays, when you get outside the lines, the rumble strips will let you know. Y'all know what the rumble strips are, right? That's that thing when you're driving, all of a sudden, just reminds you, pull back. Well, listen, the Holy Spirit is your rumble strip. He'll let you know you're getting a little too close to this, a little too close to that, and you can adjust. Get in the new car on the new road and enjoy the journey. Focus more on your relationship, on Jesus, and let there be some color added to your life. There ought to be a little more excitement. I wanted to play this story for you, but it's on cassette tape, and we can't do that anymore. Y'all explain to your kiddos what a cassette tape is when you get home. So I'm going to relate it for you. It's a story told by Tony Campolo many years ago. Tony Campolo had been invited to speak at a Pentecostal college. And before he was to go on, they wanted to pray for him. So they pulled him back. And you ought to hear Tony tell it. It's really good. You maybe can look it up on the internet later. And Tony said, man, these Pentecostals, when they pray, he said, man, they really pray. And they lay hands on you. And I like that. And they gather around you, a bunch of them in a circle. And they pray long. And I guess they get tired as they pray because they start leaning on you. And that's fine. But this one guy, as they're praying for him, he said, Lord, touch Charlie Stolfus. And I'm like, Charlie Stolfus? Yes, touch Charlie Stolfus. He's not even praying for me. He's got his own prayer thing going for Charlie over there. And he continues, you know Charlie, the one that lives about a mile from here in the silver trailer? Down the road on the right just a little bit? And Tony will interject. He said, man, I wanted to stop and say, man, you don't think God knows where he lives? Anyway, they finished praying for him. he gets up and does his thing, and it's time to go home. And he gets in the car, and as he's leaving, there's a guy that's hitchhiking. He feels compelled to pick him up. He picks him up, and the guy gets in the car. He says, "Hi, I'm Tony Campolo. Who are you?" "I'm Charlie Stolfus." Now, in the prayer time, the guy had also prayed about his marriage. He said, "You know, Charlie, he called me this morning. He's going to leave his wife and three kids. Lord, mend this family." As soon as he said, "I'm Stolfus," Tony Campolo took the next exit and turned around. Didn't say anything. He just turned around. And the guy said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm taking you home." "What? I'm taking you. You're leaving your wife and your three kids, and I'm taking you home." And he said, the guy's eyes got about this big. And he just drove, and he drove right up to the trailer because he knew where it was. And the guy said, "How'd you know where I lived?" Tony said, "God told me." He had the guy's attention. They go in the house. Tony goes in with him, and he tells the man and his wife, said, "I'm going to talk to you, and you're going to listen." The guy's whispering in his wife's ears, and her eyes are getting big. He shares with them the story of Jesus, prays for them. Not only is their marriage saved, that guy, Charlie Stolfus, is called into ministry later and began to preach the gospel. Now, I don't know that your journey with Jesus will be that exciting every day, but serving Jesus ought to have some highlights in your life. There ought to be some joy in your life. There ought to be a little bit of passion. There ought to be a little bit of excitement. Quit focusing on the boundaries and the rules and the lines. I don't need to do this and don't need to do that. Start focusing on what you can do and on life and on people, and get into your assignment and let God use you in this journey. You may be missing out on some excitement. It's kind of like when you go to the swimming pool and you get in the shallow end and all you do is stay there. Who wants to go to the pool if you're just going to splash around in the shallow end? If you're going to go to the pool, get up on the diving board and just jump on in and enjoy yourself. In your relationship with Jesus, some of you need to move out of the shallow. You need to plunge on into your relationship with Jesus and enjoy serving God. Amen? The final thing, the fifth thing, the lifesaver versus Jesus is the flavor, the five flavors. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." I can talk to you about Jesus. I can share my story. I can share the story of Charlie Stolfus. I can show you some nice videos. But eventually, you're going to have to take a step of faith and taste and see for yourself that God is good. See, if I brought you to my house and we had a cake on the counter and you weren't sure if that cake was good, I could explain to you all the ingredients that are in that cake. I could describe all the ingredients and say, "That's what's in the cake. Maybe that helps you. I don't know. And here's the icing. Here's where we got it. Maybe that helps you." I could tell you where we got the cake. I could tell you who made the cake. We could do a background check on everybody who was involved in producing the cake. We could do all kinds of research on the cake. But after all of the research, you're still not going to know if that cake is good. As they say, the proof is in the pudding. You're not going to know the cake is good until you take a bite. Until you taste and see for yourself. And I can talk to you about Jesus, and we can research, and maybe you're on a journey right now trying to find out truth, and you're looking at this, looking at that, going to this church. That's fine. Seek and you shall find. But eventually, no matter how much research you do, there's going to come a place where you're going to have to take a step of faith and taste and see for yourself that Jesus is who he said he is. It is a faith journey. So the name, the shape, the whole, the colors, and the taste. Jesus is our lifesaver. For God so loved the world, he saw a world that was drowning in sin, a world that was lost and undone, hopeless and helpless, and God so loved that he threw us a lifesaver. His name is Jesus. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me. Kiddos, would you all bow your heads with me as well? You've been good, and I appreciate that. I got something for you at the conclusion of service, but right now I want you to bow your heads and really listen. I'm not just talking to the kiddos. I'm talking to everybody here. In your journey of life, have you come to meet the Creator of life? Do you know Jesus? For God so loved the world, He sent Jesus for you. Jesus is the lifesaver, and everybody needs to be rescued. We all fall short. We all miss it. It's not about how bad you are or how good you are. We're all lost, good and bad alike, and we all need a Savior. We all need to be rescued, and Jesus is that Savior. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you need to say yes to Jesus, I want to pray for you right where you are. But as a show of faith, I'd like you to raise your hand, and then I want to pray for you. Anybody here today need to say yes to Jesus? Would you raise your hand right now? All right. Anybody else? Church, we're going to pray this prayer together. We're going to all pray it. But before we do, heads bowed, eyes closed, just for a moment. Anybody else need to say yes to Jesus? Maybe for the first time, or maybe you just need to come back to a better place with Him. Can I see your hands as well? Anybody want to join? All right, good. Church, would you repeat after me? Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I ask you to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sin, and to make me new. I believe in Jesus, that He lived, He died, He rose again, and He lives today. May He be the Savior and the leader of my life. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you keep your heads bowed for just a moment? I want to pray for all of us that for 2022, well, we got a little bit left in 2021, but from this point forward, maybe we can get a little bit more color, a little bit more passion, joy, excitement in our journey with Jesus. You are in relationship with the Creator of all things. His name is Emmanuel, God with you. He's in the car with you. Father God, I pray for each and every one of us that our passion for you would go up, that our joy in you would go up. Father, in this journey, lead us and guide us that we might be available to help those like Charlie Stofus, that we might be available to minister to those around us, to be a support to those around us, to cry with those who are hurting, to rejoice with those who are succeeding. God, help us to enjoy the journey with Jesus. And then, Father, thank you again for this season and all that it means, and thank you for sending Jesus to make a way for us. We pray in His name. The church says amen and amen. Give Jesus a good hand clap.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.